Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We've heard a curious last verse of the gospel. What the deacon just read for us seems rather curious, because often this is a verse that is used against us Orthodox Christians about our robust veneration of the Virgin Mary. And that's the words of the woman and Christ's response. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that you sucked. And then the Lord's reply to the woman is not, as is so often understood, to tell her that she is wrong for saying these words, but instead Christ amplifies the praise this woman gives to his mother, if we hear it correctly. So often these verses are used incorrectly. But if we hear it with the right words, we hear Christ saying, yes, truly, blessed are those that hear the word of God and keep it. The Theotokos, our Lord and God's mother, Mary, deserved the praise of this woman because Mary heard God's word, gave her assent to it continually, and lived within God's will. The Theotokos kept God's words and pondered them in her heart for her entire life without ceasing, and continues to do so in heaven. That's the meaning of this feast. The apostles buried her in a tomb in Gethsemane. They gave their lamentations, not unlike how we gave our lamentations just a few minutes ago. But she did not stay in the tomb. Christ honored his mother because she kept the words and his commandments in her heart and lived them. And so he came and brought her body and soul to abide with him in the heavenly kingdom. Brought him to sit there in the throne room of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This was because her life followed the template of her son's life. She lived an iconographic life, you could say. Her life lights up a way before us and points toward the holiness that we're all called toward. Of course, we're not going to fulfill it like she did, but she's held up is that we can, this is what we're striving for, the purity of her life, the fulfillment of God's commandments, this ardent following of her son. So we keep memory and celebrate not just her dormition, but her ascension because of what her life was like. And this culminates the last of the great feasts of the liturgical year. Culminates in the celebration of her ascension, if you will, into heaven by the hands of her son. St. Gregory Palamas, in his homily for this feast, holds up that iconographic imagery of her life for us. So I want to spend some time sharing his words with you. It's an opportunity in this feast to contemplate the theological depth of her importance to us. And he praises her very highly in his Dormition homily, sometimes in ways that might seem scandalous to some words, to some ears, and to some minds. But she deserves it all because of who she was and her total giving of her will to her son and her God. St. Gregory describes God's workmanship in her life in this way. He says, it is as though God wanted to set up an icon of everything good, and in so doing to display his own image clearly to angels and to men. And thus he made her so truly beautiful, bringing together all the various means he had used to adorn all of creation. He made her a world of everything good, both visible and invisible. Or rather, he revealed her as a synthesis of divine, angelic, and human loveliness, a nobler beauty to embellish both worlds, originating from earth but reaching up through her ascension now from the tomb to heaven, to the heavens and beyond, he even says. She united things below with things above and embraces the whole of creation with the wonders surrounding her. The fact that she tasted death, St. Gregory says, which meant that she was a little lower than the angels. However, even this increases her universal excellence of the Mother of God. It's why all things are rightly joined together to rejoice at the celebration of today of her, the event of her Dormition. This is how St. Gregory praises her, as an icon of the life of Christ. Everything that Christ was and is by nature, the Theotokos, from her such closeness to her Son, also becomes hers through him. Because she gave her humble and unfailing yes to God, her unity to her Son, we can't even fathom how great that unity is. It's a mystery that she participated in. She participated in every salvific event of Christ's life by his side. St. Gregory says that she cooperated with and shared with the sufferings of the self-emptying of the Word of God. In her earthly life, she participated in Christ. St. Gregory says that through patient endurance in all kinds of asceticism, through prayers and exertions for the whole world and counsels and exhortations for those going to the ends of the earth to preach, meaning all of the apostles, assisting in them even after her Son's death of the growth of the gospel. And she is thus proclaimed in her whole life, in her behavior, in her mind, in her words, as being utterly devoted and striving for God. Her life was completely conformed to his. She was so fashioned in the image of Christ that St. Gregory even says that she chose to die. She gave up her life voluntarily, like her Son did, because she wanted to experience all that he experienced. Death did not come to her as a surprise or in fear of its approach. Rather, just as our Lord gave up his life, he did so for the life of the world. She wanted to join him even in that. She did this by being completely united and formed to life himself. She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit at the Annunciation and carried the Immortal One in her womb. And so she participated in that through her Son, his immortality. And even after her burial, she continued to be imprinted with the life of her Son, the Word of God. For she was glorified and lifted up with him as she ascended or was translated into heaven, as we hear in the hymns. So we honor her with this little summer Lent and feast of her falling asleep, because she showed herself to be the pinnacle of the created world, the queen of creation, we call her. There is an eternal spiritual principle that is present in this feast. Not just that she did all these things by being united, but that she was transformed and became something different. St. Gregory continues on to teach us this spiritual law, and he says it in this way. It is the eternal custom in heaven, he says, that those who are lesser should participate through those who are greater in what lies beyond existence, that is, the Holy Trinity. and the Virgin Mother is incomparably greater than all the rest of creation. The same Holy Gregory tells us that she is, and he calls her, the frontier between the created and uncreated nature. There is no man that shall come to God if he is not truly illumined through her. It was through the Theotokos alone that the Lord came to us. And so the spiritual principle is that that continues. Everyone who comes to her Son comes to her and through her to know her Son. Because that's how he came into the world, that we might know him in his incarnation. Her yes to God and her continual yes to God, that complete participation in him in every aspect of her life, means that she becomes our mother. If she is our mother, we know her Son. And if we know her Son, then we come to know the life of the Holy Trinity. This is the spiritual principle that the Mother of God has and desires for us as we celebrate this feast. Her motherhood of the God-man is an integral part. It's not separated from our own spiritual lives. She continues to be and act as the Mother of God up to this day, and so she adopts every person who desires to unite with her Son. She is the mother of us all. She continuously labors for the world as our mother. She bears the world within her because she bore its creator. She is a constant intercessor for us before the throne of God. Though so often she is quiet and even silent, as she was through much of her life as she stood by her Son. But as a mother, she pours out abundant grace and bestows on us the possibility of reaching up to some resemblance of her life. And she desires to lavish us also with the benefits of her goodness. She points the way to Christ as the Theotokos. And she has a daily role to play in your salvation as it is worked out. And I pray that each of you can claim that the Mother of God lives in the throne of your heart. As I hear Father Richard Ballou said more than once, that the Mother of God lives in my heart. I pray that you experience that, because if the Son of the Father is there, then so is his Mother, the ever-Virgin Mary. She resides along with her Son in the hearts of those who honor her today, and may we receive out of God's spiritual richness her blessings and gain her aid in all things. How beautiful it is to celebrate this. May each of us be able to claim that truth and receive the seal of her protection and be formed in the image of her Son, just as she was and is, even following him into death as Jesus died. And as he rose and ascended into heaven, so did she. May we have her prayers and intercessions. Most holy Theotokos, save us. Amen.